This show is not for the easily offended. So if you are easily offended, go listen to something else.
Welcome back, fellow listeners of Indie Comic Book Noise. It has been a slight hiatus over these crazy holiday times. I, Andrew the LA Rabbit, have been editing our previous episode. But you now are listening to the new episode, hopefully to come out in 2016, of Indie Comic Book Noise.
Unless the order is changed of the episodes again, and then you won't be listening to the new episode.
Yes. Well, no, that old one's going to come out. Dang it. It's going to come out. I know it. In my soul of souls. But we are the Indie Comic Book Noise crew. That's part of the Deliberate Noise Network. This is the show. It's some of the Marvel Noise guys talking about indie comic book noise. And who are we? We are Andrew the LA Rabbit coming to you from LA. And up north, we have the Twin Towers of Titanic comic booking. That sort of fell apart somewhere. Super Kevin and Wonderful Phil. No, that doesn't really work out. Kevin and Phil.
Hello.
Good day.
There's our international portion of the show requirement fulfilled. So, as we said, this is sort of a crazy higgledy-piggledy time. It's the end of the year. We have been reading a lot. Super Steve is busy fighting polar bears.
I thought he was depressed about Marvel the last year, and then he couldn't make it.
Oh, why? Marvel's been sucking?
Go listen to Marvel Noise, our other show, for what Steve thinks about Marvel. I don't want to put words in his mouth.
Well, hopefully you'll hear from Steve shortly as well. We're not going to go peel too much behind the curtain, as I already have.
Well, if I know you guys with the holidays, it's going to get bad. Who knows when we'll be coming out with another episode.
Hopefully we'll get it in time for Canadian Thanksgiving.
That was a while ago.
That's optimistic.
Because we missed the American one. But we do have exciting... Now, do you guys want to talk comics, or do you want to do the mysterious question box?
One quick thing is, I don't know if you guys noticed, but you know that Joe Casey comic, Officer Down?
Yes.
A movie came out for it.
Yeah. It was on demand and everything. I didn't see it, though.
Yeah. The weird thing is, though, it's directed by, I think, a guy from Slipknot, which is kind of weird.
That is kind of weird.
Yeah, I watched the trailer and stuff, but I haven't watched the movie yet. Huh. But maybe in an upcoming show we could talk about that. Because I think I remember liking the comic a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't think I'll be watching the... I'm going to be watching the Slipknot-directed movie.
I know. That's what turns me off it. I know.
No, I tried to sell some Officer Downey. Or is it Officer Down?
Officer Down, I think. I don't know.
E? Are you sure it's not E?
There is an E at the end. You're right.
I don't think so, because there'd be consumer confusion with the fabric softener brand Downey.
Oh, jeez. I don't know. Maybe Sir Officer Down uses Downey.
Watching the trailer, though, it didn't really remind me of the comic.
The comic was rather explicit from what I remember.
Well, it's missing the crazy characters, I think, because there were a lot of crazy villains, weren't there?
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's also missing being a comic book.
Well, that too, yes.
Well, the motion comics also are missing being a comic too, but...
Ugh. Motion comics.
Are we past that phase? I think we're passing that, right?
All I know is I have motion comic sickness. Mm. There's some quality material coming out of this.
Do those still come out, motion comics? I haven't seen that forever.
I don't think so much. Like, you don't hear about it as... Like, I'm sure there's still some out there, but you don't really hear about it that much anymore.
I think they're pretty expensive, and no one seemingly wanted to pay. So when they're promotional items, like for movies, I think you'll still see them, but I don't know anyone that bought a ton of them.
Well, I did enjoy some, like that the Marvel one there, Spider-Woman one. I enjoy that one.
Yeah.
I thought that was okay.
I think we've kind of settled more on the panel per panel comiXology type of thing, which is, I guess, sort of like an in-between, but still not...
Well, it's just, it's a lot of, you gotta have voice talent and sound effects. So even ignoring if you can get the animation down cheaply, which it usually is, you have a whole nother layer of expenses that you need to do that just aren't, I don't think, are likely worth it. All right, so anyways, my question was, do we go to the mysterious box of questions, or do we dive right into books?
Mystery box?
All right, Kevin, do you want to shake the mystery box and close your eyes and reach inside?
Bing! Oh, that was more like an oven. Slight tangent, since Super Steve isn't here. I saw some boxes at the Buck or Two store, and I have some, like, figures and, like, random small toy stuff. And I'm like, hey, maybe if I buy some of these empty boxes and fill them with toys, they'll sell better than if they were just in a jar.
The mystery box thing is huge out here. Everywhere I go, it seems like, you know, people just put a bunch of junk in it, and then you know, hey, in one of these boxes we've held, put one thing of value, but in all 9,000 other boxes are filled with junk we couldn't sell.
Yeah, so it was kind of like a sad moment where I'm like, that's kind of sad, where I was thinking like, hey, I could, and then I was just like, ugh. Anyhow, from Bob Gar, otherwise known as Slermo, I have a question. What?
Go ahead. I'm sure this question is from 12 years ago, but go ahead.
Yeah, if anyone wants to send questions to Indie Comic Book N, we might use them whenever we record an episode in the possible future. What, if any, are your favorite indie cross-company crossovers? Example, Flaming Carrot TMNT crossover.
Well, I know Phil loves those Archie crossovers.
I don't want to talk about Archie right now because the horror line let me down once again. Oh, I've not seen an issue since.
I think they put out two Archie issues, right?
Yeah, like months ago. But yes, well, I did enjoy some, like the Archie. Well, I don't know if they're any good, but when I was younger, I liked the Archie and Ninja Turtles, Archie and Punisher, which I know was really bad. But for me, though, the big ones were the Savage Dragon crossovers, because Eric Larson used to lend them out to pretty much any indie guy that wanted to use them, like Destroyer Duck or, God, there are so many. Like, he crossed over with everyone, 10th Muse, you name it. I used to love those ones a lot. And the one I always wanted to read, but I never did, was The War of the Independents from not too long ago. You guys know that one?
Yeah.
Where I had like over 100. You have one?
I have the first couple issues. That one year I went to the New York City Comic Con, he was there. So I bought, and he was doing all kinds of giving swag away and stuff. I might have an extra issue. If I can find it, good luck on that. I will send it to you, Phil.
Oh, awesome. Did you read it?
I read the problem was he was like, he had issue one and two, or because one he had started actually 20 years ago or whatever, and was sort of rebooting the thing. So I never got to never found the last issue. So okay. I don't know how it resolved itself.
And like, but Gumbo, even Gumbo and Pokey show up, like Felix, like all kinds of crazy characters.
Yeah, it was quite I can't imagine the logistic nightmares of trying to track down all the different rights holders and everything, but it was a clever idea.
Yeah, I don't know if I've read that many. Like, I always think of something like, oh, maybe TMNT when they met, like, Cerebus or something, but I'm like, or then I'm like, oh, Usagi, but that was mostly, like, TV appearances.
Well, I'm, to piggyback on top of Phil, obviously I gotta go to my boy. Martial Law did a crossover with Pinhead.
Oh, yeah, and Savage Dragon.
And with Savage Dragon.
I love both of those. So I'm a big Hellraiser fan, obviously, so.
So after he left Epic, Marvel's pseudo-creator-owned weird line from the 80s, he had a bunch of different homes, and so he would travel and appear with all these great limited. He did The Mask was another one he crossed over with, so.
Okay, I never saw that one.
You can find The Good Marshall everywhere, and then when I was a wee young laddie, I do remember Badger from First Comics crossed over with Coyote, which was another Marvel epics. And, you know, the one sort of trivia about Coyote was, I believe it's Todd McFarlane's first published work.
And you know, Badger's back, eh? Like Devil Dew.
Yes.
Is it now? Yep.
Yeah, I saw that he. I think I had read. I picked up a trade of the Badger, collecting some of the. Because he's poked his head out every once in a while. Yeah.
I used to read the Malibu stuff. Because it was Malibu, right? That put him out for a bit.
Yeah, but I mean, originally he started it for actually.
There's the other stuff in the '80s.
But yeah, he was one of those characters that came up every few years to show up in places and kind of fun, irreverent. For those of you unfamiliar, sort of a low powered superhero when that was all the vogue. Street level, I guess, is what the kids call it now. Do the kids really call it street level? You can correct me, guys.
Devil's Do is kind of a company I'm surprised that it's still around, too.
Like, well, you know, it went away for many years.
Yeah, like, that's why.
I think there was probably issues with, like, paying creators and stuff. But now it's, like, sort of merged with First Comics. Well, the revived, I guess, First Comics, not the really the original.
The problem with First is because... all those rights got split to the Four Winds or to the creators or whatever, so they don't really have the kind of stable. I mean, I think they have E-Man is left, but I think most of the rest of it, although at a recent show I did pick up a few fun books from them out of their new line. They had some nice stuff, so I bought it, but it was all brand new.
Yeah, because when I think of First, I think of like Grimjack and John Sable and all those guys.
All the stuff... It was reprinted by IDW, is what you think of.
Pretty much, yeah.
I never dived much into First. Like, I've read an issue here and there, but that's about it.
Well, thanks to Bob Gar. You can find him.
What about Kevin?
What about Kevin?
I sort of said mine. Oh. Sort of.
It's very forgettable.
I know. I'm trying to think about something that's more... More really indie than just, oh, Ninja Turtles or something, because I don't know. Or then there was crossovers that were, like, a mainstream character with an indie character, so.
Yeah, those were always fun.
Like Spawn, Batman, Starman, Hellboy. Like, I know they...
Oh, yeah, that one was awesome. Yeah. But the Aliens and Predator stuff, I always loved that stuff. Like, when they crossed over with, like, Batman. Like, the first Batman one was so cool.
Like, I know there was Revival, too. That was interesting.
Yeah, it was such a... It wasn't a very big... Like, it was such a small crossover, though, like...
Yeah.
Like, it was more like cameos.
Well, also, I don't know. That's all the same company, technically.
Yeah, that too.
Like, I think I would want to see, like... But that's sort of like TV territory again. I'm trying to avoid this. I'm trying to be... pure indie here, not mention the Flintstones or anything like that.
Wait, so you want like a Predator Flintstones crossover, Kevin?
Why not? There was an Archie and Predator, and that one was good.
I mean, part of the problem, I guess, is when you have to let one of them kind of take the lead. So it's somebody really visiting someone else in a way. I mean, I guess you could do like a split book or something, but usually it's someone going in, like the martial law ones that I read were all drawn by Kevin O'Neill, so it felt very much like they were visit. Even if he was going to their universe, the storytelling and the pacing was all the regular martial law creative team. So it's kind of that's what when I think of those things, I always think about, well, who's really running that show? Like the Archie ones are almost always done by the Archie parent company, right, Phil?
Yeah.
So it feels more like an Archie book than like your
average. Yeah, because it's always the Archie art.
Yeah, and I haven't read anything like Deathmate. As much as I like Valiant and everything, I haven't, you know, read some of that old stuff that's infamous. Or I also think of timelines. Like there's some Image books like the Fade Out and Satellite Sam. Like some of those books, I'm like, well, what if they were. I guess that's sort of crossing over in a way. Like, some of those characters could be older or younger and sort of, like, bump into each other. But, that wouldn't really happen. Like, you sort of want some of these books to stay on their own, even if they sort of occupy similar periods.
I love crossovers. They're fun to just, like, make it a one-shot, you know?
Things, like, could happen rather than, what's your favorite one that did happen? But, like, Remender, he has all these different titles and Black Science. Like, they're going to all these different worlds. So if the guys from Black Science could sort of, like, visit every other Remender book.
Well, that would be a good one to, yeah, cross over with things, for sure.
Well, that's like not to wander too far afield, but those internet theories about how all the Pixar movies are in the same universe and people that link them all together and everything. I mean, I guess if you're a creator, you can put that stamp on, but I do think it feels like the best stories. I don't know. Like I said, the crossovers, it's got to go back to who's the home team. Who's the guy mm-hmm. doing it? That's what's going to drive the bus on the ones. Or I like those ones where I think the Badger one and Coyote might have been this, where it was one in their issue and then one in the other guy's issue, so that each creative team got a chance to work with the characters.
See, is crossover doing that type of thing born out of like a superhero thing? Like, I always think it's more natural and easier for just some superheroes to cross over than...
No, I don't think that's true. I'm sure I've read non-superhero stuff where I have crossovers. I can't think of it, but...
Like, I guess the indie guys would do it from the sense, hey, this would just be cool.
Well, I always thought crossovers were kind of like the precursor to the mashup in a way.
Yeah.
Like, you always had, like, Dracula meets Sherlock Holmes or whatever. You know, the idea of taking two kind of separate properties and pushing them, creating a third. And so that's where I thought, oh, it's smart. You know, like, I have my thing, you have your thing. Let's do some promotion and get your readers. Because the Turtles did that with everybody. I told you, I had the preteen Dirty Jean Kung Fu Kangaroo. They had literally a one panel appearance by the Turtles in their first issue.
Those are the worst. Yeah, when it was like just one picture.
Yeah, and of course I'm remembering another one with Savage Dragon where he appeared in Proof and got really beat up by some of the monsters in that book. That was all right. But it was just like another Savage Dragon thing. It was just weird. It's all like all of a sudden, oh yeah, Savage Dragon's here.
Mm-hmm. Or Hellboy in X-Men where he started. Wasn't that really short, like really small?
I've read a little bit of X-Men, but it kind of fell mostly in the hole.
Yeah.
Of...
Before it got me at the start, but then it kind of lost me a bit. It's definitely acquired taste, I think, next minute. All right. So who's got something for a review?
Andy, oh, thanks. Did you go and do any conventions?
Of course he's done some conventions.
I actually blew off CalArts this year.
Ooh.
I wasn't... We had been busy on Saturday, and I was like, well, I'll go Sunday. But then work had some stuff going, and I remember last year, and I really don't fit in there. Like, it's the art comics crowd, and you know how they feel about superhero people. Like, it just never, you know, they smell the stink of Marvel and DC on you coming from, like, three blocks away, and they don't want any piece of that. Sometimes you can't scrub that stuff off. You can't get rid of it. It haunts you. Oh, defines you.
You're speaking my language, but yet I you know, go into that every year. Because some of them are cool. Like they're like, oh, yeah, like I'll draw Venom for you. And the other guys are like, screw Spider-Man. And you're just like, whoa, yeah, screw Spider-Man.
We all have to have our separate paths in life and never the twain shall meet. But I might go next. Also, this year they were really under on their promotion and everything, and it just felt like it was kind of an off year, and I was like, yeah, I got so much on my plate, I just, this year I'm gonna give it a pass, and I'll go next year maybe. I don't know. You're right, I let the team down, let the side down.
I know, you're our indie guy in LA, and then you didn't even go and get your exclusives. Like,
I it just I really don't. I'm 20 years too old, 60 pounds too heavy, and read way too many superhero books for that group.
Well, sometimes they do their own Suicide Squad fan comics. So, like Copra, then you're right at home.
Yeah, but even there, isn't it done with sort of an ironic twist? And I'm not supposed to really enjoy it. I just have to enjoy it ironically.
I don't know. It's kind of evolved in a way. Like, I just got the fourth volume. To sit down and read that.
They did have those books on sale last year, but none of the creative people were there.
Oh.
So I was like, I don't want to buy it from some publisher or whatever. Buy it from the man himself.
Yeah.
All right, is it book talking time?
I think so.
All right, well.
Speaking of crossovers and what we were talking about, I'll just run through a few titles here quickly. First up is the Spawn Savage Dragon crossover that just came out. And you guys never really read Savage Dragon, but there was an old storyline where a guy would activate powers for villains and stuff in Savage Dragon. And this is basically just almost another story just like that, but a different villain. I really did not like it at all. But I haven't been enjoying Savage Dragon since his son took over. Like, just all the parts where it's his family life and stuff, his wife and all his kids, like, I just find it so boring. Kind of annoying. I don't know. I really, really miss the old Savage Dragon. So I couldn't just get into the story. And it was only two issues, but like I said, it was kind of a hash of an old Savage Dragon story. Another one is the last issue of Crossed, issue 100, Badlands. I didn't read the stuff before. I just grabbed the last issue because I'll do that sometimes. And how much was this piece of shit? $6. And it felt... And it's so... The story is so small, like so thin. And it's this... A couple characters that have shown up throughout the series that I have read of volumes, and it just kind of, it's one of the zombies, almost like he can interact with humans now and not kill them and stuff, and he kind of goes, so the other Cross kind of notice that and want to kill him and try and kill him, and but yeah, then after that, like, and I'm talking, I don't even think that's a full issue, like it's very small, then it's just a sketchbook that was free at the comic store, free at conventions. Like, just some covers you already have. Like, it was such a waste of money. And, like, not good for a send-off. Like, because I don't know if that's it for Crossed, but if so, that was kind of shitty. Another I'm loving is Norman by Stan Selaz. It's by Titan Comics. I think it's from the UK, but I'm not 100% sure. But it's basically a cartoony book of this little kid who's a serial killer. And it's very... Very funny, very cute, like a lot of throwbacks to movies and stuff. Like, he got a Jason mask in this issue for Christmas, but he didn't open it. Like, before he opened it, he, like, killed his uncle or whatever, and then he opened it and kind of regretted killing him. But just, like, it's really, really good. Invincible is still going strong. In the new issue, basically they're... Mark, his wife Eve, and his daughter are hiding out on a planet, kind of living their life normally and stuff. And the old, his race or whatever, they're kind of evil. If you've, I know you've read a bit of Invincible. Basically, they send two of them to go there and kill his daughter. So it's just him and Eve trying to get away with her and defend her while these two of the alien race are just, like, trying to tear her apart. It's a really, really fun issue. And last off is Rick and Morty, Lil Poopy Superstar, which is a 5-issue miniseries, a spinoff from Rick and Morty cartoon show there I love. The main series is still going and really, really awesome still. Like, Tom Fowler's done an awesome storyline. But this one focuses on Morty's sister, Summer, who's one of my favorite characters. And it's just her on an adventure with Lil Poopy Superstar. It was kind of like that Superman, Mr. I don't even want to pronounce his name. You know, the little imp.
Metzoplexic?
Yeah, that's it. And yeah, they're just basically on an adventure for 5 issues. And I really, really enjoyed this, just like the main series. And yeah, that's about it. I probably talked way too fast.
Well, in honor of you, Phil, I had actually picked up some Action Lab books.
Oh, yeah.
I thought you were going to talk Action Lab.
Well, I might have read it.
The Circle, number one.
Oh, I wanted that, but I think I'm waiting for the trade because I missed it.
Damon Clark, Eliza Zerno, edited and lettered by Zen, and I have the variant cover by Ivan Chavrin. So it's a story of a kid moving to a new town, and his mother just died, and he and his father relocate, and he has, you know, trouble fitting in. And so the first issue was all just that. But it's done in a watercolor style, kind of Matt Kinty almost. I mean, a little more defined than that, but very much in that genre. The first issue's long, but it feels like
That's good, though.
Yeah, but there's no, the twist doesn't happen in it. It really is set up. I mean, it looks good, and it moves, and I like it, but I was kind of expecting, you know how most comics, like, the end of that first issue. I mean, this one, he ends up finding, like, a crew of kids to hang out with, but it's not quite the same sort of, like, oh, my God, now, you know. I mean, he ends up finding a group of other misfits that fit in. And they have this cool hideout, like, in this cave thing that's kind of neat. Sort of a rundown town that they move to. But, yeah, I didn't know what to expect. The cover just caught my eye with the same sort of coloring on it. And then I also picked up Brigands, number one.
Oh, that's another one I wanted. Yeah. So those are two. Yeah. But problem is my comic store will only get a few of them. So I got to always special order them, eh? So that's why.
Well, guess what? I was in a hurry, and so guess what I did, Phil?
What's that?
I bought both copies of number one because I didn't realize they were variant covers.
Yeah, I do that. You do that a lot.
So do you have a preference on a cover? I'll send you
nope,
one.
Nope, not at all.
See, Andrew, I thought you only did this on Marvel books, but apparently indie books are, you know, you give them some love, too.
Yeah, that was the best Nova issue.
I'm always in a hurry, so I'm always buying. And another book I want to talk about that I did the same thing on is the IDW's comic book Comics in Color. I also bought the number one issue twice because there was the subscription issue and then the regular one.
Wow!
So I
how did
just,
you mess that one up?
I'm it's like this quick like. There's the pile of comics, and I'm just running through, like, grab, hit to the thing, hand him, he adds them up and tells me what the thing, and it looks really different, because the one is the regular cover, and this other one has this cave paintings cover, and I was like, oh, this would be kind of cool, maybe it's something different, and I also don't mind quadruple dipping for the Fred Van Lente, Ryan.
Mm-hmm.
Combo, and it's in color. I mean, I already got these books, and I already got, you know, multiple copies of it. In fact, I have a page of original art from the series hanging on the wall.
Wow.
So I'm pot committed. So the fact of buying a whole other issue really wasn't going to put me out any or anything. But yeah, it's fun. And then, besides, it's in color now. I know you guys hate black and white, so.
What? I bought the whole series of comic book comics when it was on that cheap newsprint in black and white.
Say, if it's not in color, it's not really a comic book, and it doesn't hold your interest.
I
think it all depends on the comic.
All those Japanese comics aren't comics.
Yes, exactly.
There we go. That's what you wanted to say, Andrew. You're like, I hate all those Japanese comics. That's what you wanted to say.
Like, one I did always wish was color was Scott Pilgrim.
It is color now.
Yeah, I never bought those, though. I don't want to buy it.
They did them for you.
I didn't like it that much. I liked it, but...
For a second there, I had it confused with Scott McCloud. I was thinking, Zot? Yeah, Zot in color would be cool. I totally forgot there was that whole Scott Pilgrim thing.
I like the books. I thought they were good.
And it would turn me... That whole creepy old dude into high school chicks when he's out of high school... Like, we all knew guys. Like
yeah, that was a little
creepy. And I'm always like, that's a little... I remember those guys, and they were always a little weird. I mean, hey, I don't want to knock anybody's sexual preferences, but
I
gotta watch the law, son.
I don't know if you would say Scott in that book is exactly normal.
Well, but she was 18, and he was like, I'm sure 25 or something.
Yeah, I mean, she's still in high school. He's long since left, like... You just have to be careful at that age because one of them can be under the wire and the other guy's over the wire, and that's a bad scene, you know? At least down here. I don't know. Maybe they don't have age of consent laws in Canada.
Well,
Phil, you would
know
that.
Laws are probably slightly different.
We don't have crimes in Canada. We're not like you with your corrupt presidents.
You and your socialist paradise with your... Each to their needs, and
we'll be calling you Russia.
And our lower drinking ages and everything, right, Andrew?
It's all crime. Yeah, I remember as a youth, we used to sneak across the border to sample some ice cold Molsons for the underage crowd.
Yeah, our beer isn't watered down.
But I don't drink much beer anymore. Stuff's terrible.
Yeah, I'm not a big drinker myself.
What, I'm a drinker on here?
I just drink, sleep with women.
The rest of us are pure, Kevin.
Apparently, pure, and I don't even drink that often.
Just on episodes over Thanksgiving. All right, Kevin, so what do you have any books you want to talk about? We sort of skipped over.
I have a Valiant book.
Let me guess. Hold on. Harbingers?
No.
Oh.
Keep guessing. This is fun.
Faith?
No.
That's the only one I had, because I have that and the t-shirt.
Generation Zero?
No, we already talked about that on an episode. Yeah. But was that on an episode that came out? I can't keep track of this anymore.
Britannia, I have that, but I haven't read it yet, but that looks pretty good.
No, I have a digital, but I never read it yet.
Sonic the Hedgehog. Isn't that Valiant?
No, Flash is in a Valiant.
I think Flash is DC, Kevin.
But didn't Sonic the Hedgehog show up in Flash?
Wally Wood.
Now, wasn't there a comic where, like, Sonic the Hedgehog showed up in, like, another Speedster title?
Maybe in a Twinkie ad or something, but I don't think a comic.
Maybe it's a comic that's in your imagination, Kevin.
I'm sure there was a comic. I'll break out the comic book legends for you after the show. I'm sure there was one like that.
I think you were dreaming, snuggling with your action figures.
Just like Buried Alien.
What's the goddamn comic you read?
Savage.
Savage? Oh, okay, I know nothing about that one. That's the Indian one, right? The Native American, I mean?
The Turok replacement? Or Tarzan?
Okay, yeah, I never thought of that.
Tarzan, if you will. With, who's that? If we have any UK fans, they'll be shouting at us that I don't remember the soccer star. You know the guy that was really popular over there and then he came over to America?
No. David Beckham?
Yes, they have a character that's pretty much just like that in this comic, where he's on a plane and, like, the plane goes down all Lost style on some kind of island where there's dinosaurs.
So not like that movie about the soccer players where the plane goes down and they all have to eat each other.
So well, it really is like Turok.
Yeah. But I don't know if I read any of the original Turok.
Because I wasn't interested in Savage, because I looked today at something like what's coming out in the back of the issue there, and not a lot was really looking that good to me, like a Russian Bloodshot, and then Savage, I was like, ugh. But what? Now that sounds more interesting to me now, though.
Ah, the Russian Bloodshot looks awesome.
Because I'm into dinosaurs right now, because I'm playing a video game called Ark, and where you have to evolve, and dinosaurs are in it, and you try and catch them and stuff.
Well, this one's by B. Claymore, and I know some people were raving over Louis LaRosa on that Bloodshot Reborn, like he did in Ark there, and he does part of the pages in here where it's a dinosaur sequence.
That still was really awesome. Was that the one where he was against the machine people?
Machine people?
Yeah, I thought. Wasn't there a storyline where he was against that?
Machine people.
Yeah. Or it was in the desert or something, and they were driving
like there. Oh, there's some Shadow Man.
Maybe it was that.
Maybe, but you can tell like this is like a fast forward. Hey, Andrew, a fast forward.
Whoa, it's like a flashback, but the reverse.
I know he's like gathering up all these weird dinosaur eggs, and you're like, okay, what's with that? And then you see like a baby bottle and all this other stuff, and like this sort of shelter he's built. And then they go, like, to the plane crash thing right after that. So you're like, oh, I guess. Like, you don't know. I assume something horrible happens to his parents, right? Like, he's just out in the bush fighting himself. And then he's just like a baby on the plane, like, back in the day. So, unless his parents are still around, like, I suppose that's possible. But the other sequence is by Clayton Henry, who I always enjoyed on Archer and Armstrong, so. Strong lineup of artists here. And then they go to, you know, it's Lostian in the way that, like, they're on this island, and all of a sudden they, like, see another ship that had crash-landed there. And then they go check it out, and then there's, like, dead bodies inside, and they're like, whoa, what's going on here? And then it pretty much ends with, like, dinos showing up in, like, the
kind of sequence.
You need to know exactly the dinos.
I need to know exactly, well, not the exact name, but at least something about them.
Like a T-Rex type of guy.
It sounds like it'd be fun, this comic, maybe. I'd probably want to pick up when there's, like, maybe the trade or something. I don't think that's enough to grab me in one issue, but...
Yeah, this is, like, the heavier deluxe package, you know, with the sort of cardstock covers.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just, like, a regular issue type of thing. And the funny thing is I only ordered the first issue. Because then, like, Divinity 3 is coming out, so I'm like, ah, I got to drop something to get Divinity 3. And then Savage actually turned out to be good.
Yeah.
Not that fun. I was expecting, like, I wouldn't order something and I'd go, oh, I expect this to be bad. But it was sort of like an unknown quantity, and I know I wanted Divinity 3. So now I'm like, I only picked up the first issue of Savage.
Now you have something to hunt down later on.
Yeah, I guess so.
Do you look at, how do the back issues do for Valiant? I haven't really done, like, are they crazy expensive, or you don't know?
Not a lot of heat on the, like, the regular issues. But
okay,
because there's, like, the Valiant Faithful, like, once you get into variant covers, like, some of those could go for, like, $100. Because you have, like, like the 1 in 10 or the 1 in 25 or the 1 in 50. It's sometimes there's some competition for some of those books.
Do you ever find the cheapy bin, though? Like the new stuff?
I personally don't see it in the 50-cent bins.
No.
Usually, I think stores order for, like, the Valiant Hardcore, and that's about, like, I think most stores know.
My store gets a lot of Valiant, so it must be popular here, but, yeah, they get quite a few.
Well, I know there's some, like, breakthroughs. Like, Faith, I think, seems to have tapped into a larger audience, so that's kind of interesting. That wasn't supposed to be a pun.
I thought you meant that there were a lot of George Michael fans.
Oh, I forgot about him.
Well, you gotta have faith.
Yep, that's what I thought of. I also thought of a woman in a bathtub. Was that in the video?
That reminds me of an old-timey joke. I'll spare you folks. But as you may or may not know, we're all on Twitter. I'm at LA_rabbit1. Kevin is WX Kev, and Phil is me and my sloth. And I follow people on Twitter. One person I follow is Pear Hedman.
Oh.
He's at @that_PHH. And he does a comic that he posts there called The Far Dark Side.
Yeah, Darth Vader.
Which is Darth Vader and that. And the other day he had a bunch of a selection printed up, and he was selling them. So I jumped on the Twitter and ordered a comic from Scandinavia. Obviously, I paid more in shipping than for the book, but it was totally worth it. So I have the 88th out of 100.
You said Darth Vader?
Yeah, it's sort of the Far Side mashed up with Darth Vader. So they're one-panel gag strips that run the gamut of, like, you know, they can be pretty dark or just pretty silly. But it's all this Darth Vader done. If you go to his Twitter feed, you'll see he's posted some of them. So you can do it that way. But I was like, yeah, I'm going to buy, you know, I'll buy a comic by this guy. I remember him. I've interacted with him. It's kind of fun. So I have The Far Dark Side number one, which costs 20 SEK, whatever that is. I use PayPal, so I don't know how that works out. But yeah.
Don't pay attention to it.
They do all the confusing math for you.
Yeah, they're like, oh, that's $10,000, Andy, or that's
and you're that's like sold.
Yeah, I have no idea what the foreign money is.
And then you look at your bank account after, and you're like, wow, that comic actually costs a lot of money.
So yeah, this is an open invitation for fraudsters now to look me up. But this is a fun, like, go to his Twitter feed. I don't know if he's going to do the, you know, sell more copies or whatever, but you can see him as he tweets them. And it's just fun if you like kind of start, like, the humor, I think, transcends Star Wars to some extent because it puts Darth in these sort of absurd situations sometimes. So, you know, one panel gag strips. Who doesn't like those?
You know, I think there's an indie a small indie film that's coming out this week that has something to do with Wars in the Stars.
Whoa, did he have it made into a movie? Good on him.
Yeah, I think so.
Good on Mr. Headman. Well, I assume. I think that's a drawing of himself with a beard, so I'm going to assume his gender, but apologize if I picked the wrong gender. But yeah, and apparently it's on Facebook and everything too, but I don't really know what that is. However, Indie Comic Book Noise does have a Facebook fan page, I'm told. Boys, do either of you know anything about that?
Yeah, I can confirm that I think there's one in existence.
I don't really use social media that much.
I guess that leaves Kevin as our Facebook guru. Kevin, have you heard of...
I think Super Steve is the guru on in the Facebook lands.
So wait, you're not on Facebook either? All right. Well, at least you're on Twitter. That's the real social media.
Oh, yeah, if that goes away, I don't... Like, there's no message boards. There's no nothing. I was like, I don't know what I would do. Like,
you could talk to us.
I would have to, like, email? Like, I don't know.
Lots of ways.
I have to exchange, like, weird pictures of things on you know, that with Dan weird. On the Leaf Insect Man on there.
Phil, don't pass judgment, okay? You've done some pretty shady things, too.
I have, but I'll admit.
And I also, from expensive comics due to shipping to cheap comics, did you guys get the 25-cent Red Sonja number zero issue?
I did. I haven't read it yet, but I've always been a big fan of those fantasy characters stuck in, like, New York, like Beastmaster. I used to love that series. Beastmaster 2, I'm sure, does not hold up at all. But there he ended up in New York. Or the Conan What Ifs. There was one where he ended up, I think, in New York also. And also one where it was a crossover with Wolverine and they switched places.
Yeah, this is from Dynamite. It's Amy Chu and Carlos Gomez, colored by Mohan.
Mm-hmm. And it's 25 cents, so how could you not pick it up?
Like, it's a half issue, but that's fine. Yeah. Like, it's a quarter. Okay. Like, they're losing money for sure.
Yeah.
And as you say, it opens with her kind of fighting this dragon, and then she gets transferred by a wizard to fighting a subway dragon.
Is that a regular character in her series? I've read a lot of Red Sonja, but I was wondering if that was, like, a normal bad guy of hers.
I think so, but the problem with those Robert E. Howard names is they all kind of sound roughly the same. I mean, sometimes I do like it when he crosses over his characters. Like, I'm actually a big Solomon Kane fan.
Me too.
The stories. The comics tend to not do a lot for me, and the movie was pretty terrible. So
yeah.
But this one I thought was it's very kind of cheeky monkey in a way. Mm-hmm. Like, Red Sonja is very, like, she has the slimmest chainmail armor you've ever seen. Like, it's very cheesecakey and silly and, like, just...
But that's... She does that for a reason. It's to distract the guys.
Oh, it's distracting somebody.
Because that's seriously her whole reason, is that way she can chop their heads off while they're looking at her boobs.
But, you know, I mean, it's the whole thing is very... All the poses she's in and everything is very... But it's also done with that sort of humor. But yeah, it ends where she pops her head up, like, because she was in the subway, and then she's in New York. And then in the back, there's something else I also like are, like, these sketches by Gomez, and then all the, like, thousands of different covers of books and ads and statues and stuff. So, but yeah, I mean, 25 cents, people. Like, really, you're going to get all frosty about a quarter? I mean, Dynamite's clearly losing money on this.
Mm-hmm. And I think it's going to be a really fun story, because it's always fun to see how those characters out of place interact. Like, there'll probably be a little bit of comedy, you know, and as she figures out this Earth. So I think it'll be a lot of fun, and I love Red Sonja.
Oh, for sure. They've already put, like, humor bits in it, so it's not going to be a grim and gritty.
Yeah, well, it's going to be fun. That's how it should be, this one. Speaking of more crossovers, actually.
Wow, you're funny. You really bought into the theme.
I didn't know that, though. But it just happened. It just happened. Well, these are kind of crossovers anyway. Definitely. No, they are crossovers, just like you guys were talking about. So, as you guys know, I really like that new Evil Dead 2 series. Not Evil Dead, but it was Evil Dead 2 by Scapegoat Comics, or Space Goat. I think it's Space Goat. And the first series was awesome. Then there's been two other minis, and they've been not very good. Second one was kind of okay. This third one's kind of like a Cthulhu type thing, but it's really not good. They're just not getting the Ash character right at all. And one of the problems is, too, since he isn't missing one of his hands, it just doesn't have that same feel, you know, in a way. Like he almost needs to be missing that hand and have the chainsaw. Like, he doesn't use a chainsaw or anything like that. Like, he's just a lot different because he... It is an Ash before a lot of that bad stuff happened and stuff. But yeah, so anyway, so they've been having these one-shots. I talked about one where it was him versus Hitler, I believe, on the show. And since then, there's been one, him versus Dracula, where they have to end up kind of teaming up and fighting this kind of gargoyle demonite. There's Evil Dead 2, Revenge of the Martians. So it's him, War of the Worlds meets War of the Worlds. Mm.
Tripods.
Yeah, all the tripods and everything. That one was pretty good. I think I liked that one, if I'm correct. The Dracula one was okay, but nothing special. Him and Jack the Ripper. This one was... Didn't like this one at all. Some neat art, though. There was definitely some neat art in this one, but I think it almost maybe wasn't long enough.
Who was the artist on that one, then?
That one was Francisco Marie. Then the latest one was Revenge of the Krampus, so it's him meeting the Krampus. And there's also been one actually, like a Merry Christmas one-shot too. But it's kind of neat getting them as one-shots, but yeah, this company where they had me so much at the start, now it's definitely not the better Evil Dead comic. You're better off back at Dynamite, I think. Because you're just not getting the character that you love. But the show, the second season of the show has been awesome. You guys don't watch that show, I guess. Eh?
No, I don't even know where it airs. Like, if I was,
I don't have. I think here it's the Stars.
Stars. I think
down here in this country, I'm sure. I don't get Stars.
Yeah.
Were you guys fans of the movie at all? I know you weren't, Kevin. I'm sure.
Oh, I've never seen it. No.
I saw maybe the first three or four or so. I like
them. You've seen them all. It sounds like you've seen them all then, because there's.
I don't know how many there are.
There's three in the TV show now.
Oh, I enjoyed it, but I don't know, for some reason it doesn't. It didn't be like you have to absorb this and follow along with it, and then will make it your life or whatever. I like Bruce Campbell a lot, and it's a vehicle for him, so I like it for that, but. I don't know. It just also felt like maybe for me, three movies was enough. You know, I didn't feel like I needed to go back to that world in any big hurry. I enjoyed them, but I'm like, yeah, three movies. And sometimes I'm learning in the modern world, good to know when is enough.
But this
we get
is
thousands
case,
of movies and
this is
TV
a case
shows.
Where that's not true, though, because the show is really, really good.
It's I'm sure it is, but I feel like I've filled up on. You know, like I've got my quotient of it in my life.
Do you guys need more teenage awkwardness with vampires in your life?
Uh-oh, here we go, Vampire Diaries comic.
No.
I saw one of them Twilight movies. very,
see, you watch the Twilight movies, but you won't watch the Evil Dead TV show. That's 20 minutes an episode.
God it was damn. Just on the TV.
God
and let me
damn
tell
it.
You.
This is a classic response. It was just on the TV, so I watched it.
It was, and what bothers me about it is the production values are so low. Like, that movie makes, like, billions of dollars, and they can't spend any of it on it to make it look good.
What do you mean
the
sparkling? You didn't like the sparkling?
I mean, there's a scene where, like, they're fighting some big battle in the woods, and it's so clearly a set, and you're like, really? You couldn't have spent a little extra time and money to make it look like the... Either shoot it outside or make it look like the, like... Movie making has reached a point where they can fake you out if they want to. And if you can easily tell just by casually looking, it might not have been the first one. It might have been like the sixth one or whatever it was. All I know,
like,
it was
like
some
numbering on everything. You always
big fight scene.
10 ahead.
And they're outside on this mountaintop. And you're like, wow, that's clearly a set. Like, they're not even trying anymore. And I don't know, maybe that's like a Dogma movie with a bunch of weird
rules. Well, the actors didn't want to get cold, because wasn't like, it winter?
It has to be on a set. Because it was one of them fairy tale ones that felt like that. It was clearly on a set, but I thought that might have been the aesthetic. Like, oh, we're going to make it look like a play or something, or make evoke some weird mood with it. Or they're just too cheap to make it look good. I don't know. But, so Kevin, you were reading the Twilight comic.
What?
That's what you were leading into.
There's a Twilight comic, first of all, Andrew?
Well, you were about to tell us about it, so I assume so.
No, this was all like a preamble to asking you guys another question. Hey, remember the Flowers of Evil?
I remember you talking about it.
Well, that creator, I'll butcher the name now, Shuzu Oshimi, I guess?
It makes you feel better. They probably have a whole bunch of assistants that do all the art.
Probably. That's how all those series go. But anyways, there's more work out there by this creator from Kodansha Comics this time, and it's called Happiness. So if you are missing the weird, awkward bike rides in the rain and stuff like that, well, there's more to come. When, you know, it always focuses on some school kids or something like that, and this one has vampires. So, enjoying it so far. I read the first volume, and it goes into, like, it's vampires, but it's like a creator's, like, they're putting their own stamp, sort of, like, on the vampire stuff. So I don't know where it's going to go and what they're going to do, except, you know, teenage awkwardness type of stuff. So, it seems to be a lot of vampire stuff currently, or zombie stuff, in a lot of popular or unpopular.
Yeah, for years now. That's why zombies are no fun anymore.
Well, if it's a manga, you might want to check out I Am a Hero from Dark Horse Comics and then report back.
For zombies? Well, I still get everything zombies, but it's just not the same anymore.
Ever since Double Take went out of business, right?
Oh, right. Yeah, God, I put them out of business.
That. Why'd you do that, you jerk? I completely washed them out of my mind. Oh, God. I never had to put them again.
If it's a manga, Kevin, I'll just wait till all 700 volumes are out before I start reading it.
Oh, Flowers of Evil was only 11 volumes.
Oh, yeah, okay. Now he's going to go back to it, I'm sure.
I don't know. It's just I was happy to see, you know, you're going through the previous catalog every month, and you know how the back of the catalog is. And then you get to the manga section
No, actually, I don't. I don't read the previews catalog.
I don't read half of the previews.
I read previews.
But you know the existence of previews and how it is when you're going through previews. Or you can imagine how it is going through a 500-page catalog.
I'm just saying that you're assuming, and I have to correct you. I don't know what it's like. I mean, I'm sure I've looked at it once or something.
I look forward to it every month. I love previews.
But you get to that page, like maybe page, like it's like you're like 300, page 378, and you're like, oh man, there's a lot in here. Or you're not interested in a lot of stuff. And
I
then
skip
you see,
that section.
All of a sudden, you see there's a new volume that you had no idea that someone had gotten the rights to, and they're translating a new series from a creator, and you're just like, oh yeah, I'm in on that.
I just skipped to the part with the licensed shot glasses.
The t-shirts.
I go straight to the socks.
Those are the important parts.
Yeah.
That's probably my favorite section towards the back, because you have the Valiant, Viz, and Vertical. So it's all just in there. I'm like, oh yeah. Then, of course, right at the back of the catalog is the Zenoscope, so, you know.
Tries Valiant has it made front of the previews thing.
It's true. Don't they have good sales? I think that would be one of them, yeah, that would make it.
I don't know what kind of weird sacrifices you have to make to get to the front of the previews.
It's true. You probably have to pay.
Yeah. Like I know everyone was surprised when IDW jumped to the front.
Yeah. And now everyone's putting out their own, like, magazines with articles and previews. Like, DC does it. Image does it now. Marvel has their own separate previews.
You have to pay for the Image one, the DC one.
DC
is
free.
Quarterly.
I don't. It's not every month, but the one, this last one, is really good.
So you're into the DC Currents.
Yeah, I enjoyed it. That's the only one I ever got, I think, though.
Wait, I thought that was just in the back page where it was like, hey, you know, they did the fake newscast thing on the back pages. Do they not do that anymore?
This was, no, they don't
do that.
How many reboots ago was that?
Oh, jeez.
Hey, Marvel's no better. Kevin always complains how he hates when comics are called seasons, but that's all Marvel is. Every year they reboot. It's a new season.
It's not a reboot. But I don't think that's content for this podcast, but it's not a reboot. They keep their history.
Yeah, well, tell them to get some fucking Civil War out once in a while.
I don't even read that, Phil.
I've already passed it again, just like their last event.
He's saying, I'm going to pick the weakest book in the entire line and make fun of it that I don't even read. I'm like, yeah, so?
Like, all these other issues come out twice a month. Why not get one of those guys to draw it? Instead, you have this a-hole that can't even get an issue out.
Hey, did you notice when Marvel had, like, only one book going twice a month that month and no one commented or no one noticed?
Yeah, no one noticed. That's right.
I know, exactly. This, you know, people get on that hate train. They're publishing every book twice a month, and then when they don't do it, nothing. But I guess we should wrap up this episode of Indie Comic Book Noise since we strayed into Marvel territory.
I love it. I love it. It feels so transgressive. We're breaking the law. But yes, this has been a crossover episode, very clever, Phil, of Indie Comic Book Noise. So make sure you keep tuned to the feeds. We also have our Marvel Noise show, which is all ages appropriate.
Which is what I'm not allowed on.
Hopefully it won't be as long in between episodes, and maybe I'll finish editing that one episode, but you don't understand all the crazy stuff that gets cut out of these episodes, people. I'm doing you all a favor, and you're doing us a favor by listening. And if you want a recommendation, my brother's on a podcast called The Contingent Professor.
What?
Cool. He's like the permanent guest, the co-host. Mm-hmm. The guy, the host of it, is a adjunct professor, and my brother's tenured. Mm-hmm. So they talk about being a professor and what it takes and sort of navigating everything from the perspective of it's, I guess, tenure is not so common nowadays. But it's interesting, if you're curious. It's a bit more professional than this current podcast.
Are you saying we're not professional?
Yes, I'm saying I'm not professional.
I'm not.
I don't think anybody's shocked by that. But anyways, The Contingent Professor. I know no one from my family listens to this podcast, but hopefully we can steer some to his podcast. And anyone else have any plugs before we sign off? World's longest sign off?
I'm excited. Next time I'm going to talk about, I'm going to rewatch a movie called Wolf Cop. I recommend anyone else to watch it too. And I'm going to read the comic also and talk about that.
I have no upcoming cons or anything.
And we'll see you on the independent side.